Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. This will not be Doomsday Tuesday after all. Just as federal workers were heading for their desks, President Bush this morning signed emergency legislation averting massive layoffs for another 10 days. Jacqueline Adams reports.
At 7:07 this morning in the Oval Office, President Bush signed the emergency spending bill, which will avert a widespread shutdown of the federal government. But his acceptance of the budget resolution that accompanied it was conditional. The president said bluntly he's not fully satisfied with the House and Senate passed budget resolution, and he hopes congressional committees will now approve a final package which closely follows both the letter and spirit of the summit agreement, the same package the House rejected this weekend. Mr. Bush admitted he has no guarantees that Congress will produce the budget he wants, and he promised that unless he gets a final bill by the October 19th deadline, a budget with no smoke, no mirrors, a budget with growth-oriented tax incentives, he will be willing to face a government shutdown once again. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, The White House.
This is Rob Armstrong on Capitol Hill. It was a far cry from the angry and contentious atmosphere in the House early yesterday morning. The Senate passed the budget resolution with broad bipartisan support. Republican John Danforth of Missouri.
It seems to this senator that after some 5 months of deliberation, some 5 months of negotiating among various summiteers, the time has come to get on with it.
Democrat Sam Nunn of Georgia.
We're trying to save $500 billion a year, and everybody's trying to look for a way to do it where nobody gets hurt, nobody gets mad. By definition, that's impossible.
In the midst of the budget debate, the Senate modified an emergency spending bill to keep the government from shutting down this morning, and the House agreed. But everybody could be back in 2 weeks if the committees of the Congress cannot take the raw numbers in the budget resolution and decide where spending should be cut and where taxes should be raised. While many members of Congress breathed a sigh of relief at getting a budget resolution, others were warning that the agony of the last few days will be nothing in comparison to what's going to happen over the next 2 weeks. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Senate acted just after midnight to keep the wolf from the door, with Colorado Republican William Armstrong telling his colleagues Congress hasn't shown much to the voters.
My hunch is out in the country, they don't think we look like heroes, they think we look like jerks.
And the voters will have their say on that 4 weeks from today. For Palestinians under Israeli military rule, there is grief and anger over the 19 Arabs shot dead by police yesterday during a stone-throwing demonstration in Jerusalem's Old City. About 140 others were wounded on the bloodiest day of the Intifada. Today, for the first time ever, Israeli police closed the Holy Temple Mount and tear-gassed Arabs trying to break through. The 80-year-old Mufti of Jerusalem, the chief Muslim cleric, was overcome by the gas and taken away on a stretcher. Lawrence Rifkin has more.
The funerals have been taking place in just about every Arab neighborhood here, all accompanied by nationalist and religious chants. And many Arabs not at graveside were busy battling police. Further clashes took place in Jerusalem's Old City and other neighborhoods outside the Old City walls, and in Israel's north, home to one of the Arab victims who was an Israeli citizen. At the same time, local Palestinian spokesmen, such as newspaper editor Hana Signora, were saying their people are feeling very vulnerable.
We appeal to the Security Council, the United Nations, to take responsibility of the lives and the human rights of the Palestinians.
The Israelis say they'll never let anyone else interfere with their efforts to keep the peace in the occupied lands. Right now, they're looking into the reasons Jerusalem police lost control yesterday, with the possible culprits being poor intelligence, which resulted in only a token force being present in the area, and simple panic. Lawrence Rifkin, CBS News, Jerusalem.
The European Community Executive Committee today condemned the Temple Mount killings and called for new peace efforts. And on Baghdad radio, as monitored in Amman this morning, Saddam Hussein's spokesman said yesterday's shooting should not have happened if U.S. forces were not deployed in the Gulf. He called for U.N. condemnation of Israel. Some 400 Australian Aborigines ripped down iron gates and stormed the New South Wales Parliament in Sydney today, throwing rocks and bottles at police. The demonstrators, 11 of whom were arrested, were protesting what they claim is a sellout of indigenous land rights. The $10 million civil trial of white supremacist Tom Metzger has begun under tight security in Portland, Oregon. The family of a black man beaten to death by three skinheads claim Metzger recruited the killers. Jerry Bowen reports.
The lawsuit claims Metzger and his California-based White Aryan Resistance, or WAR, encouraged the attack and are now financially liable. Metzger says the issue is freedom of speech, that he's a victim of politicians who don't like his views.
I'm their enemy, I guess. And I guess that's the idea, to destroy your enemy. But I'm not so easy to destroy, and this we see as a skirmish, but surely not the war.
The suit has been brought by the Southern Poverty Law Center and Attorney Morris Dees, who previously won $7 million in a similar wrongful death suit against the Alabama Ku Klux Klan. A victory this time, say observers, would be significant. Daniel Levitis, Center for Democratic Renewal.
It will severely damage Metzger's operation, possibly pushing it beyond the point of no return.
The Metzgers remain defiant, saying their ideas of white supremacy can't be killed. Jerry Bowen, CBS News, Portland.
Jury selection is underway in the landmark obscenity trial of the rap group Two Live Crew, arrested last June after a live performance in Hollywood, Florida. More from Susan Gray of Miami affiliate WINZ.
Broward County Judge June Johnson read out loud to the jury pool of 25 the charges against the rap group stemming from last June's Hollywood, Florida nightclub performance.
And in the course of said performance or show, on one or more occasions, to simulate an act of deviant sexual intercourse and make actual physical contact with the breast of a female.
When the judge began reciting some of the sexually explicit lyrics that the group is accused of singing, prospective jurors gaped, and bandleader Luther Campbell stormed out of the courtroom cursing. After a short recess, the proceedings resumed, but were interrupted by a prosecutor brandishing an emergency writ, Perry Mason style, to disqualify the judge from presiding at the trial, alleging she's biased for the defense. A hearing on that issue is expected sometime today. Susan Gray for CBS News, Fort Lauderdale. Imagine there's
no heaven. John Lennon would have been 50 today. A worldwide 10-minute radio broadcast is now underway to celebrate the slain musician. The Lennon special was heard by U.S. troops in Saudi Arabia, who today got their own radio station. He may be no Robin Williams, but the Navy DJ just knew just how to sign on.
Good morning, Saudi Arabia. Navy Chief Journalist Rich Jane Kuhl kicking off Desert Shield Network FM 107.
The military's passed out 3,500 radios with 30,000 more on the way. The dollar is lower in modern overseas trading. London gold up $3. And on Wall Street, the Dow is off more than 20 points. It's 10 minutes past 7.